Welcome back to the Goalie Corner, presented by One Stop Goaltending. I'm Coach Michael, and today we have Brant Hilton, Director of Goaltending at Evolution Hockey. I met Brant a few months ago now at the goalie coaching seminar for Hockey Canada. Brant, thank you for coming on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, Mike, thanks so much for having me on, number one. As you said, Director of Goaltending with Evolution Hockey here in Winnipeg. I've lived in Winnipeg for most of my life. I have traveled around a little bit. In between kind of like 24 and 32, that age. Started off playing hockey when I was young, kept going, played some Western Hockey League, some junior A, some U sports, played a little bit of pro down south with the now defunct Central Hockey League. Retired and decided to go in and do some broadcasting. So I got into the hockey industry doing some broadcasting. Always wanted to be a goalie coach. It was just kind of something deep down that I really wanted to try, and was able to get the opportunity here with Evolution Hockey just off basically a text message. I'm very lucky to have the position I have right now, because it's been almost 3 years. It's been a lot of fun. The relationships that you create with the athletes that you coach, for me, it's junior A all the way down to U11. It's been an awesome experience so far. I'm very passionate about the goaltending position in hockey, and it's been a huge part of my life. So I'm very thankful to be able to say I can do this for a living. Not many people can.
That's for sure. Director of goaltending too has a nice ring to it, eh?
It does. It's funny because my fiance, you know, when people ask her what I do, she's like, "Oh yeah, he's a hockey coach," and she makes it sound like it's like a hobby. Okay, so does he do anything else? Yeah, director of goaltending has a more professional ring, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, everybody's like, "What do you do?" I'm like, "Well, I always say I'm a developer. I'm a goalie developer, right?"
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, because I'm off ice, I'm mental, I'm on ice, consulting. Like, how do you, it's just not coaching. Coaching is you get to the rink and then you leave and it's done, right? You know, it's more relationship. It's more understanding the athlete themselves, right?
It is.
But yeah, sorry, you have something else to add there.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, like, so here at Evolution, we do something called a mentorship program, and I work with five kids pretty closely. I go out to their games and do some film there. And we have an app, not Evolution Hockey app, but it's an app that we use where we post all the video and stuff like that. And, you know, you really do get to learn who they are as kids and as goalies, and you create some really great relationships with their family members as well, their parents. And that's what it's all about, rather than just going to the rink, seeing them for the hour and saying, okay, see you next week. Like, it really is about creating that relationship and understanding who they are, so you can try to get the best out of them. And coaching really is an art. Like, it's all about gaining experience. You can't just, I always kind of say, like, I can't go to Sobeys or some sort of grocery store and just buy a pack of experience. You have to go through it. You have to learn it. You can do as much as you can off the ice to try to learn about, you know, the technique and tactics and all that side of the game. But it's all about gaining experience and then learning the goalies that you coach. And you're right about that.
Yeah. I always tried when I tell the goalies, like, for me coaching, the actual on ice part is two ways, right? You have to tell me as the athlete how you're feeling, how you like whatever tactic or technique we're using at the moment, how you feel about it, right? And if you're not feeling great about it, then it's my job to manipulate it, right? And then I'm trying to get the understanding of you so I know what you're thinking before you even tell me, right? That takes time and takes a lot of communication, but yeah, so far I'm five years into full-time coaching.
Yep.
And I love it, right? There's nothing outside of rather do. I do have 20 plus years of experience of being a goalie, so I think I have enough experience to talk about it. But yeah, we went to the seminar and I think I'm just scratching the surface at this point. Right.
100%. And it's funny how you mentioned you were a goalie and I stopped playing when I'm in my mid 30s now. I stopped playing when I was about 24. competitively. And it's so funny how the position has changed over those years. It really isn't that far removed, but it is in terms of how the position is played now. It's just like, I take a look back at how I was trained and some of the things that I used to do, and you just wouldn't coach that way anymore. There was a lot of sliding. There was a lot of blocking involved, right? There was a lot of perhaps over-challenging at times, just trying to use your body to kind of take up that space. And it's not like that anymore because the players are so good and can change the angle and can one touch and one time and all that different type of stuff. It's just, it's such a different game. It's fun. I've had to really try to relearn it because there's nothing, there's almost nothing that translates from when I played. There's a little bit, but that's about it. Certainly on the technical and I think tactical side.
Yeah. Yeah. And every year it changes a little bit, right? We have the new technique with the panda, but really that's just three or four techniques built into one, right? I wish we could get a different name for it, but nothing's sticking.
No. Nope. Well, what about just an overlap butterfly, which essentially is kind of what it is. Although, I mean, I guess we're getting off topic, but there's a little bit of where your hips aren't square with the puck and stuff like that, but.
And normally that's how I taught an overlap. Like, I don't want you fully committing to that guy, right? So overlap under rotation, but we can save that for the next time.
Yeah, that's another day.
Just have a good goalie debate there.
Yeah.
I wanted to have you on for this specific topic because I think you're able to think about it enough to deep dive, right? And it's something that Brad Kirkwood mentioned during his presentation with Hockey Canada, mm-hmm. that I know you and I talked about that week following, right? And he pitched a question out, and I think I was the only person to raise my hand like a doughhead. But is Canada in a goalie crisis, right? That's the clickbait. That's what we're going with. And now Brant and I are going to kind of discuss it a little bit, and at the end, we'll come up with our conclusion. But just off the rip, do you think Canada is in a goalie crisis?
I personally don't. I think before I was coming on the podcast, I was trying to figure out kind of how I wanted to go about this. And I think it depends, well, A, on who you ask, but B, what your expectation is. If you expect a Canadian goaltender to always be the best in the world, like right now Andrei Vasilevsky is, or at least, I mean, that's what most people would say, then I suppose the Canadian goaltending development system is not doing what you would like it to do. But if you take a look at just the amount of goalie spots in the NHL, and if the majority of those are taken by Canadian goaltenders, in which right now, and you've done the stats on this and the research on this, they are, then I would say that's pretty darn good. There's a lot of competition out there. The difference between 20 years ago is that you didn't have a bunch of countries overseas putting as much as they are now into into goalie development. And you're seeing goalies from everywhere now being drafted. Yeah. I believe there was one this past draft. Was he from Italy? I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
I think he was taken late in the second round. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But there's so much competition. And I think when it comes to Canadian goaltending, I mean, can the development system do things better? 100%. I don't think that will ever be perfect. Nor will it ever be perfect anywhere, but I think it's in a fine spot right now.
Yeah. And that goalie was drafted 60th overall.
And he's a big guy. He's a big guy from what I recall. Isn't he like 6'6" or something?
Damian Clara. I don't see how tall he is.
I believe he's pretty tall.
6'6". Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. But I think you hit it right on the head, right? I don't think we're in a goalie crisis. I think one, we're using NHL stats for one, so we don't have any European influence with the data itself. But it's just how you look at the numbers, right? we might have the most goaltenders in the league, and we'll get into the numbers shortly. So if you're a math person, I'm sorry, your head's about to spin. Or if you're not a math person. And it's so the number of goaltenders, but is it the number of elite goaltenders that we should be looking at for this sort of conversation, right? There's a reason why we might not have the flashiest goaltenders. And I think you might agree with this in the sense we're not training the goalies to be crazy athletic and depend on it, right? I find that there's a stronger vibe in the sense of being more efficient with movement and more efficient with how we're stopping the puck.
I would agree. I would agree 100%. Well, you know, it's funny. And when we're doing research of, you know, Canadian goalies, American goalies, Swedish goalies, I find a lot of them play the same way. And we've had a conversation over text about this before, where those three countries seem to play a little bit more programmed and structured, which personally I like. Perhaps throughout the development process, there are some cons that go with that. Maybe you're tracking, if you're in really good position, maybe you don't have to rely on your tracking as much as you would if you're out of position. So there could be some pros and cons with that, but that those are the similarities that I see. And I like a more structured program goalie within reason. But I do think as you get higher up, I think that type of structure is definitely beneficial.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to just have that muscle memory and, okay, I'm here, the puck is there. I actually just saw Pasco's post and is having a game plan for behind the net situations.
Yes.
Right. So right there, there's your evidence that we're teaching game plans. So the puck is here, players doing this. What are we doing? And just making that game plan instinct.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of good timing on his post for me, but.
I want to bring something else up here. So again, I was doing a little bit of research before heading on the podcast. And so when I was taking a look at top goalies in the NHL, just in my mind, I wasn't even looking at stats, just who do I think is the top, who are the top goalies? And, you know, I obviously Andrei Vasilevsky, Shesterkin, who by the way, had a down year last year, I think by all accounts in New York. Sorokin, and he just got paid big money with the Islanders, Saros, Hellebuck, Ottinger. And I put Thatcher Demko in there because I'm a big fan of Thatcher Demko. I think he's awesome. So those are kind of the top seven for me, just off the top of my head. And there's no Canadians in there. And to be honest with you, like that's okay. But then I dug up another stat and we're taking a look at Stanley Cup winners over the last 19 seasons. Okay. And 12 of the last 19 seasons, teams have been led to the Stanley Cup by a Canadian goalie. Okay, so you take a look at Vegas, that's Aiden Hill. Colorado, Darcy Kemper. We had two with Tampa Bay, so that's obviously Vasilevsky. But then you got Binnington, Braden Holtby, Matt Murray, Corey Crawford. The next American would be Jonathan Quick in 2014 with Los Angeles. So you got Canadian goalies that are leading their teams to the Stanley Cup and raising the trophy. And I think at the end of the day, that's what every team wants. So Hellebuck certainly hasn't really come close, I guess, besides 2018 when the Jets lost to Vegas. Canadian goalies are leading their teams to the Stanley Cup. Isn't that what you want? You know, like Aiden Hill wasn't a household name before. He is now. Darcy Kemper, is he an elite goalie in the NHL? No. But he's solid. So, I mean,
there's a large messaging in Canada, maybe North America too, right? With an American system of consistency. Teams want to know what they're getting every game, right? And that's a good stat that I never thought about, right? Stanley Cup wins in the last, you said 19 years?
Correct. I went all the way down to 2004. 2004 was Tampa Bay. That was Nikolai Habibulin. By the way, my favorite goalie growing up, he played 1 year with the Jets before they went off to Arizona. But then 2006, because 2005 was a wipeout, Cam Ward. 2007, yeah. Chiguer. Chris Osgood, who I totally forgot about in 08 with Detroit. You got Marc-Andre Fleury with the Penguins in 09. there's only one Finnish goalie in there, and that's Antti Niemi with Chicago in 2010.
Wow.
So I just found that interesting. Like, Canadian goaltenders are leading their team to the Stanley Cup more often than not, and more than any other country. I found that interesting.
I like that stat. And I'll get into my stats that I looked at. Just from this season alone, we placed sixth for games played. And I'm just going off single goalie numbers here. We placed sixth. So first Canadian was Jordan Binnington with 61 games played. Goals against average was we were 10th with Andon Hill, right? With a 2.47. Very, I wouldn't say outstanding goals against average, but he's good enough for 10th. Anyways, in goals against, we had in the top 20, we had two goalies. So that's 10% of the top 20. Russia had 7, Sweden had 2, America had 4, Finland had 2, Czech Republic had 2, and Denmark had 1. Right? So pretty spread out, but Russia had 7. Okay. That's just something to pay attention to. Save percentage. We placed 11th again with Andon Hill. This must be for the whole season, including playoffs. Because I don't think he got over 20 games in the regular season, but definitely could be wrong.
I don't think so.
Right.
But played incredible in the playoffs, obviously.
Played incredible. Yeah, absolutely incredible. Andon Hill had 91.5 save percentage. Okay. Top 20 goalies again for save percentage. Canada had 5 this time. Sweden had 2. Finland had 3. Russia had 6. America had 3. Czech Republic had 1. Which is, I'm not going to say it's interesting, but when you go from save percentage to goals against, we got 3 extra goalies, right? So right there, I think that's more consistency. They might have higher goals against average, but they're more consistent with it. Okay. When we go to overall breakdown, this might be the end of the conversation right here, but Canada had 33 goalies in the NHL. The next closest was USA with 25. So right there, North America has 57 goalies. Is that right? Yeah, that's good math, right? Yeah. 58.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, 58. Russia only had 12 goalies in the NHL last year. And 7 of them had the best goals against, or were in the top 20 for goals against.
Yeah.
Sweden had 11, Finland had 10, Czech Republic had 8, Denmark had 2, Latvia had 2, Germany had 2, Switzerland and Slovakia both had 1. So Canadian goalies make up 30.8% of the NHL. I don't think that's a crisis, in my opinion.
No, I think, and I didn't do the numbers in terms of what that percentage was like, let's say 15, 20 years ago. I'm sure there were more Canadian goalies in the NHL, but as we mentioned before, there's way more competition from many other countries around the world now that are doing their very best to produce high level goalies. And so naturally that number is just going to drop. You got a goaltender this past NHL draft who was from Italy. I mean, honestly, like, who would have thought? You know, and that's awesome. And that just goes to show you the amount of competition there is for Canadian goaltenders, for American goaltenders, for any goalie anywhere. I think Canadian goaltending is in a good spot, but everyone seems to look at who the elite goalies are and the fact that no one has really taken Carey Price's spot from Canada. Carey Price was the best goalie in the NHL for a number of years, obviously Canadian, and no other Canadian has been able to take his spot since he's left the game, whether temporary or forever. And so I think that's what everyone gets up in arms about. But as you said, it depends on who you ask and what they want out of a Canadian goaltender. If you want the best, then I suppose the development process isn't working the way you would like it. If you want the majority of NHL spots to be taken by Canadian goalies, well, it sounds like it is. And if that's what you want, then the development process is working the way you want it.
Exactly, right? So I think it's interesting to think of. I think we as Canadians were spoiled with goaltenders, right? And we could even make that conversation into the best player in the NHL too, right? Going Crosby, then McDavid, and then maybe Bedard, right? See what happens, right? We're getting spoiled with it, okay? We have a large pool of players in Canada. I wouldn't say we're expected to always be the best, but we hold ourselves to that standard. So we went from Jacques Plante, Ken Dryden, right? And then I'm missing a lot of goalies that were top, but Patrick Waugh, Martin Brodeur, Luongo, Carey Price. Like, how can you keep having that pedestal, right? So it is about time that a different nationality goalie comes in and just humbles that number one spot from Canada, in my opinion, right? Make us want it again, make someone step up, right?
Well, and right now that's the Russians. The Russians are coming in and they're producing, as you said, not as many goaltenders at the NHL level, but they are some of the elite in the National Hockey League. And yeah, for whatever reason, I mean, there's certainly a common denominator with Russian goalies. They're very athletic. They're incredible skaters. You know, when I take a look at Andre Vasilevsky, I mean, just his pure athleticism obviously helps him make some ridiculous saves. Is his stance the best stance that we've ever seen? No, but he's so athletic that he can get away with stuff like that.
Yeah.
So right now the Russians are, you know, they're at the top. And you take a look at how they play, and maybe that changes how coaches around the world view development, and maybe they change the way they coach as well.
Absolutely. I also think it's interesting that a lot of the players in the NHL are North American. They've grown up knowing how to score on these goalies because we've been teaching the North American goalies cool, calm, consistent, and efficient. Right. So they know what they're looking for. You throw Vasilevsky in net, who's, you never know what you're going to get, right, with the type of save he's going to make. Now it's a guessing game, right? You have to beat him straight up. You have no extra prior knowledge about that sort of style or that sort of stance, right? So that's kind of an interesting take I have on that too, right? Are the players just becoming smarter in the sense, hey, at the WHL level, at the OHL, the US level, are they starting to learn and understand? Because the kids that they're playing with at that level, they're going to keep moving up to the AHL, NHL, wherever they go, right? And then you also have to think, if we think of a goalie, Canadian goalie, let's just go Andon Hill. Andon Hill, Canadian, right? Is there an equivalent to an Andon Hill Russian goalie still in Russia, but just doesn't want to come over here because that's a big move, language change or barrier? He's not going to be looked at as like a Vasilevsky or Sorokin or I almost said Saros as if he is one, but
he's Finnish.
Yeah, I know.
Shesterkin, Sorokin.
They're all S's besides Vasilevsky. But are they
going to? You could put Askarov in there too, who, I mean, should be in the NHL at some point soon.
Right. Like, are they going to be looked at the same? Are they going to have the same opportunity as these other Russian goalies that are just show stopping? I don't think so. So they're going to stay in the KHL or play somewhere in Europe.
Right. And watching that type of hockey too, they would grow up, I would assume, watching the KHL and wanting to play there. I don't know how big of an audience the NHL gets in Russia. I've never been there, right. So I don't know. Maybe it is big and maybe everyone wants to come over and play in North America, but my guess would be that most of the kids over there look up to those in the KHL and want to, like, the KHL is the NHL for them.
Exactly.
Up until they get the opportunity to maybe come over to the NHL.
Yeah, right. And not necessarily getting a little off topic, but do you want to take a wild guess on who the top five Canadian goalies were last year based on the goals against average? over 20 games?
Well, Aiden Hill probably was the first, I would say. It's funny because I kind of looked this up too. So I'm trying to, and I didn't see a Canadian goalie anywhere close. I think I might have been save percentage though that I was looking at, not goals against. But probably Aiden Hill would be one of the top. Who else here?
It's a hard one.
Hold on. See, I wrote down Canadian goaltenders here, and just like prominent Canadian goaltenders. But some of them are actually, not Marc-Andre Fleury, I don't think, right? Carter Hart, maybe? I thought Carter had a good year in Philadelphia, or pretty good.
Yeah, probably better than.
I'm guessing now.
No.
Who is it?
All right, so we got Aiden Hill as number one with a 2.46. Logan Thompson, so two Vegas guys. All right. Yep. 2.65. Scott Wedgwood with Dallas. 2.72. That one surprised me. Stuart Skinner, right? 2.73. And then Darcy Kemper. So could it also be the fact that none of these guys are really in hockey markets besides Skinner?
It's funny too. Like, so you were spitting out the stats of goals against and save percentage, but like those, it's so hard to look at those now because now you have all these advanced stats, yeah, and goals against and save percentage is tough to really get a gauge on how the goaltender is playing. A lot of it now is high danger chances and what's their, I don't dive too much into this, but what's their goals above expected or whatever that is, per night or throughout the season. And I do think it matters obviously what team they're playing on. So for Aiden Hill and Logan Thompson, by the way, two goalies, Canadian goalies that are up and coming, like they could be stars, in the coming years for sure. I would say Aiden Hill probably is a star right now, certainly in Vegas after the way he played in the playoffs, but it definitely depends on the type of team they play on. Vegas was obviously had a great decor team wise, very defensively structured. I spit out Sam Montembeault as a guess, probably a bad guess because obviously Montreal wasn't very good. So I can't imagine his stats were amazing. I do like Sam as a goalie though. I think he's really good.
But that's a hockey market, right? You heard his name a lot.
100%.
Right. Yeah. So like Scott Wedgwood with Dallas, like we don't hear anything ever about Dallas.
Well, and he takes a back seat to Jake Oettinger too, right? I mean, you want to talk about good American goalies. Jake Oettinger is probably second behind Hellebuck right now, I would say, at least in people's minds. Now, there's not as big of a sample size for Oettinger because he is relatively new to the NHL. I would, you know, Thatcher Demko has been around a little bit more, but I think a lot of people would put Jake Oettinger right up there as like second behind Hellebuck. Yeah, Scott Wedgwood, that's an interesting one. How many games did he play?
I had it written down.
Minimum was 20.
I think
he put you on the spot.
I think he snuck in there with 21.
Yeah.
Just pulling it back up here.
Yeah.
Games played. Goals against average. Wedgwood played 21. So, like, did he play against the toughest teams? Probably not, right? That's a little bit more of a classic backup role, I'd say.
But backups get a lot of back-to-backs where the team is not fresh. Their team is not fresh, right? They're coming in overnight, you know, depending on where they're playing. So the backup has the backup has a tough job.
Which would
tell you that his stats probably wouldn't be as good as maybe if they were not playing on a back-to-back and the team was a little bit more fresh. I don't know how many back-to-backs Scott played in last year, but I would assume it was some. That's usually the role of the backup.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it is what it is.
I think it's however you want the numbers to be.
Yep.
Right. And we could probably sit here all day manipulating the numbers to be in favor of our opinion. But just because you did bring it up, what was the breakdown a few years ago? Right. So,
oh, good.
Let's pick. The website I sent out has all the way back to 1917.
Wow. Okay.
We're not going to go that far, though.
It's impressive.
It's pretty cool. We're going to go back to 2010, 2011. Regular season, all goalies. Canada has 40. U.S. has 18. Finland, Sweden have 8. Russia has only 5. Czech Republic has 3. Switzerland has 2. Slovakia has 2. Germany has 1.
And so
less teams
this past year. Yeah. And this past year, Canada had 33.
Right. So seven goalies.
So drop off of 7. That's not bad. Again, considering everything that we just talked about, the amount of competition there is now.
Exactly.
First and foremost, the amount of countries that are really putting a lot into developing high level goalies, I would say that's not really that much of a drop off. It depends. Again, I'm repeating myself. It depends on who you ask and what they want out of a Canadian goalie. And if you want the best of the best, right now Canada isn't in that spot. But certainly, there's a lot of high level quality goalies in the NHL. And as I spit out some stats earlier, they're leading their teams more often than not to Stanley Cups. And at the end of the day, that's what every team in the NHL wants.
Exactly right. So I'm agreeing with you based on that stat. I think Canadian goalies are in the opposite of a crisis. I think we're getting looked for the consistency and for the big games, the big moments, right? There's a reason why Vegas, well, maybe not the fact that it's the nationality, but there's a reason why Vegas went from Logan Thompson, right? Got injured, then went to Laurent Brossoit, another Canadian. Right. He got injured, then went to Andon Hill. Right. And then had, if he went down, then they would have Quick. Right. Which is crazy to think of him as like the fourth or fifth. Mm-hmm. There's kind of a reason for that. It doesn't matter who they put in. They just knew what they were going to get. Right. And the team adapted around that. So,
well, Vegas played such a good defensive style too. I mean, you could toss this might sound like anybody. I'm discrediting. Yeah. I don't want to discredit any of the goalies they had there, but I mean, their defensive play was such where it really gave Adin Hill, who does not have a lot of NHL experience prior to the playoffs anyway, obviously gained a lot there, but the way that Vegas played gives anybody a good chance to have success. Because A, their decor was just so talented, and B, their defensive structure was incredibly good. And so they allowed Hill to make the first save, clear up the rebounds. I do remember even in the game 5 Stanley Cup finals against Florida, the game was well out of reach, but Hill made a couple just incredible saves. One was in the third period. It may have been off a rebound, or it was an in tight east-west glove save. So he played extremely well, but I think their system really allowed for him with not a lot of experience to come in and play well. Perhaps opposite, if we take a look at the Edmonton Oilers and Stuart Skinner being a rookie and having all that on his shoulders in a Canadian market. Now, Vegas is a big market too, with a ton of attention on them right now, but the Edmonton Oilers putting all their stock into Stuart Skinner, a big role for a rookie, and he struggled in the playoffs, or at least didn't play his best. I know he got pulled a number of times, whether that's his fault or not. And Edmonton's defense stacked up against Vegas just isn't quite there.
It was a crazy year for goalies getting pulled in playoffs, right? I think everybody ended up getting pulled. But if we do want more Canadian goalies in the NHL, right, to really tip the scales, or we do want to become the number one, take that number one or at least a couple spots in the top 5. How do you think we should go about that? One, as goalie coaches, two, maybe as athletes.
Yeah. Well, for me, the number one thing is affordability. And it's funny because I was actually speaking with a parent yesterday and we were just talking about this exact same thing. And I don't know if it's something that gets brought up enough, but the affordability aspect is the biggest one for me. If you want more kids in the game, more goalies in the game, then you need to make it more affordable. And if you have a larger pool of goaltenders, then it would just make sense that you're going to find a few that make their way all the way up to the top and are one of the best in the NHL. And, you know, if you take a look at ice rental costs right now, which I'm sure varies from market to market, province to province, but I know here in Manitoba, you know, it's expensive. You know, goalie coaching costs, regular season costs, equipment costs, obviously, which is, you know, you need equipment, but man, the equipment's expensive. All of that, it makes it tough for some families to put their child into hockey, whether they're going to be a player or a goalie. It makes it really, really tough. And so I think if there's any way that, and I don't know how this would work, whether it's at the provincial level or a level higher up, if there's any way that we could make it more affordable, where more families can get involved, now you're just going to increase the amount of goaltenders, increase that pool. And now there's a more likely chance that more Canadian goaltenders are able to make their way all the way through the pro ranks to the NHL.
All right, just to wrap up. So Brant and I are disagreeing with the statement of Canada is in a goalie crisis, at least at the NHL level. I think we, as goalie coaches, have been doing good across country, doing the Hockey Canada 80-20 split. Right. And that's being 80% consistent across the board with what we're teaching, 20% of our own little free. We can add whatever we want. I think looking at Brant's statistic of Canadian goalies winning the Stanley Cup, that's enough of a statement or fact right there that we're doing good. Right. We might not have the top five statistically right now. And that's okay.
Right. And I just want to add something in here too. Like when we talk about goalie coaching, like there's a lot of really good goalie coaches in Canada. A lot of goalie coaches who really care, that are really passionate, that are very eager to learn and to adapt in terms of what they're doing. So I think, you know, if someone wants to take a look at the goalie coaching and perhaps use that angle as maybe it's not where other countries are, I would disagree with that. I think goalie coaching in Canada, there's just tons of great goalie coaches who are incredibly passionate and want the best for their kids and are willing to learn and not be stuck in their ways, which is huge. If you are not evolving, then obviously you're getting left behind a bit. And I think the goalie coaching scene in Canada, not that I know everybody, but I think it's in a really good spot.
I do too. And I think it's up to the athlete to find the goalie coach or to find the coach that best that they adapt to. I think it's up to the athlete a little bit more than just relying on the local guy. Find someone that you truly connect with and can actually tell you what to do or how to help you, right? It's not just about hurting feelings, yelling, screaming, or being buddy-buddy. What do you need to hear right here, right now to help you as the athlete?
Well, and there's lots of different options out there, and that's a good thing because everyone sees the game a little bit different. Everyone teaches it a little bit different. And you're right. I think it's all about the goalie, the athlete, finding the coach that can get the best out of them. And as we said before, as we, you know, right at the start, it's all about relationships and you building that trust. And then you just go from there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brant, for coming on. You can follow him on social media at.
Well, you can follow Evolution Hockey Goaltending. That's the company that I work for. I have my own account, but I don't really post much on there. No one needs to see that.
He is actually the director of goaltending.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Thank you everybody for listening and stay tuned for next week.